This episode of the Memory Palace is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who save with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Hey, this is Nate DiMeo. It's been a very exciting time here at the Memory Palace these last several weeks. I was a finalist for a Peabody Award. I lost a Peabody Award, all in quick succession. I did a site-specific, one-time-only story for our first ever Radiotopia live show here in Los Angeles just a few nights ago. I'm currently prepping for solo Memory Palace shows with stories and slides and movies and music, with the tour starting in May 16th. That'll take me to Toronto and Chicago, Milwaukee and Minneapolis. Go to thememorypalace.org/events for tickets to the show, by the way. And I was just in New York, where I was named the artist in residence for the Metropolitan Museum of Art, where I'll be doing a number of stories and events over the course of the year, starting in September. And there's some other stuff in the works too, and it's all great, but it's a lot. And with an eye on making sure that the podcast stays at the heart of it all and keeps coming out with new stories time after time, I have chosen for one cycle only to dig deep into the vast storehouses that exist in a secret tunnel that run beneath the Memory Palace and pull up and polish up a story from the very early days in 2009 called the International Brotherhood of Mothers, just in time for Mother's Day. So I can, you know, kind of hunker down and build out the infrastructure and get things on track and plan ahead and make sure that all this fun stuff that I think you guys are going to like that's in the works can actually work. So new episodes back next time. And in the meantime, if you are in Toronto or Milwaukee or Minneapolis or Chicago during that week of May 16th, do head to thememorypalace.org/events. Get a ticket and come see a show and say hi. And now, this is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DiMeo. Anna Jarvis loved her mother. And because she loved her mother so much, mothers around the world get flowers and cards and candy and hugs from their kids every May. Which must have Anna Jarvis spinning in her grave. Anna Marie Jarvis was born in 1864 in West Virginia to a woman whose name was Anna Marie Jarvis. The elder Anna was a feminist, and a progressive, and a bit of a socialist before any of those words meant anything. In Virginia, in the middle of the 19th century, back before West Virginia meant anything, she traveled throughout Appalachia, organizing women's groups, teaching them about basic health and how to demand workers' rights, and teaching them what those rights were in the first place. During the Civil War, she brought women together to tend to ailing soldiers, regardless of whether they wore blue or gray. After the war, with her baby girl in tow, she held meetings for mothers on both sides in these proto-group therapy sessions, a finding closure through shared grieving kind of thing, which was radical and new. And she promoted something called Mother's Work Day, not Mother's apostrophe S, so not your mother, but Mother's, S apostrophe, Mother's plural, a collective of mothers. It was a revolutionary idea. Not a romantic one. It would be a day of demonstrations and political consciousness raising, not of flowers and spa gift cards. She said, let's take a day and recognize that what mothers do is work. Let's organize those workers the same way that people were starting to do in the mines and the mills and the factories. And that became the work of her life. And when she died in 1905, her life became the work of her daughter's life. Anna Marie was devastated by her mother's death. She had spent her whole life at her mother's side, and now at 29, childless and now motherless, she wouldn't let her mother's Mother's Day dream die. At the funeral, she handed out hundreds of carnations, one to each of the mothers in the congregation, and she made a decision to pick up the torch of her own mother's cause, one which she didn't put down for the rest of her life. She delivered speeches, she published pamphlets, she wrote to governors and newspaper editors and senators and mayors, anyone in power, all in a campaign to get the government to declare a National Mother's Day. And she succeeded. And totally failed. People love the idea of Mother's Day because people love the story of Anna Jarvis loving her own mother. And more importantly, people love their mothers. Mother's Day was made a national holiday in 1914. And for people all over the world, maybe wondering why they'd grown apart from their own mothers, maybe carrying the burden of knowing that they'd never told her they loved her, maybe wishing their own children would thank them once in a while. For people all over the world, Anna Jarvis became the platonic ideal of the devoted daughter. And they wrote to her. So many wrote to thank her, to unload about their own mother-child relationships, that she bought a second house next door in which to store her correspondence. Mother's Day would roll around every year, and Anna Jarvis, a woman with no child of her own, would get flowers by the score, heart-shaped boxes of candy, which made Anna Jarvis furious. This was supposed to be Mother's Day, S-apostrophe, not Mother's Day, apostrophe S, the monument she had built to her mother's lifetime of work for collective action and social justice had gone hallmark. Each bouquet, each Whitman sampler, each candygram was a slap in the face. Had she spent decades building a monument to her mother so that people could thank theirs with a prepackaged sentiment and a penny greeting card? And so she railed against it for the rest of her life, spending all her modest savings on campaigns against the commercialization of Mother's Day, filing lawsuits to stop Mother's Day celebrations, condemning confectioners, fighting florists. But the candy kept coming, and the flowers didn't stop. And when she died, penniless and blind in a state sanatorium in Pennsylvania in 1948, her room was filled with Mother's Day cards.
Radiotopia from Pete.